Hey, listen up.
Listen and listen good.
At that time, ad agencies made a whole lot of money buying time on ICRT. See, Mickey D's was setting single-day sales records, proving American products would sell if the products targeted the right audience, which was students. Students influenced their parents' buying decisions, and ICRT influenced students. Coke created a band, the MIT Band, to tour Taiwan to associate Coke with music. Fun was the other thing products wanted to associate with, and of course, ICRT had both, fun and music. I tell you, ICRT changed Taiwan society. Yes, sir.
It's just as simple as that.
And so, this is the story of that American-style civilian radio station located on a mountain in Taipei City, the one that replaced the American military station, and this was before email and the internet became a vital link and the only link to the world for English-speaking foreigners and local civilians living in Taiwan back in the 1980s. It was a station that kept America culturally tied to Taiwan.
FM 100. ICR. FM 100. ICRT.
In the 1980s, ICRT was the go-to station in Taiwan. A lot of new things were happening. The country was moving towards the end of martial law. It was moving towards a multi-party democracy. The youth were anxious, or even desperate, I might say, for some good English language radio. And so ICRT definitely fit that bill. It was a time when Madonna was on the charts. The young girls were walking around, the young Taiwanese girls were walking around singing Material Girl or Like a Virgin. They had their little Snoopy backpacks. They were all catching up with the rest of the world. On TV, there were only three channels, and they were all government controlled. This was before the internet, before Skype, before email, before anything. So if you wanted news in English, if you wanted music from the U.S., whether it be popular or country or even classical, ICRT was the place to go. The China Post was the only paper, English language paper at the time, and it had survived the white terror and martial law era. That would tell you something about the mindset of the people that conformed. And this is where ICRT really stood out as a breakaway. It was, in a way, a rebel, call it a rebel with a cause, but it was doing it in a way that wasn't anti-government. It was just spreading the news, spreading music, spreading everything that would open up Taiwan to the world.
The radio
activity.
I think the biggest reason why ICRT was so popular among students in late 80s when I was in ICRT was because American culture was still the number one foreign pop influencer in Taiwan back then. ICRT was the only English-speaking radio station on the island that provided a major window into the American pop culture to these young people. specifically music. And also these young students listening to the news to improve their English vocabularies and listening abilities.
ICRT.
And it's important to note that ICRT is still going strong today with global internet streaming, a YouTube channel, and a talented staff of bilingual DJs, language lessons, and hourly newscasts. Although today's overcrowded media landscape is much more highly competitive from what it was back in the 1980s when ICRT was the only game in town.
I fell in love with ICRT as soon as I came across it in the 1980s. I loved it because it was practically a classroom for me where I could learn English for free 24/7. I also love the variety of music you guys play all year long, ranging from American pop to local flavors. I particularly enjoyed the jazz show hosted by David Sanborn, which was aired every Saturday evening. And of course, I loved the American Top 40 hosted by Casey Kasem. I also love the locally produced shows hosted by great DJs like Debbie Wang, Bill Thiessen, and Tony Taylor, just to name a few. Till this day, ICRT is still number one on my preset car radio. Thank you guys for such a wonderful job and for the great memories.
Who listens to radio? No matter if it's summer, winter, spring, or fall.